The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to another Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stewart of the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. I'm Tony Curry right here on TKR. You can hear the show at least five times a week on the TKR app. Also, wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, right here on our Tony Curry YouTube channel. And it's brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics right down 145 Citation Lane in beautiful Homewood, Alabama. Of course, Seth, of course, owns Ed's Pet World. He's now opened his second business. Again, Sasquatch Toys and Comics. They've got comics. They've got toys from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. If you've got some in your attic and they're unopened, buy, sell, or trade, check out Sasquatch. They just had their big grand opening this past weekend. As a matter of fact, and it went stellar. Dr. Rab, how you been, brother?
Well, I just realized I have gum in my mouth. If my mom's watching, she's gonna be like, what are you doing?
That's all right, man.
What are you doing? But you got to keep the breath fresh when you're, you know, we're talking to these dogs and really close to their mouths. I don't want to offend them with bad breath.
You ever notice though that when you have bad breath, dogs absolutely love getting near your face? If you've just had like a pickle or maybe some sauerkraut or something and you blow in a dog's face, it will lick your lips. They love bad breath. We don't, but they do.
Maybe I should do it more often. Then maybe the owners will think, oh, look, that really loves Dr. Stewart. He's right. Giving him all kind of kisses.
Yeah. If your breath smells like poop, they're going to lick your face. That's for sure. Hey, talk a little bit about, I want to fly by the seat of our pants here on the show today. Talk a little bit about what your day looks like. What time do you get in the morning? How many appointments do you normally have? What's a day in Dr. Rab, veterinarian extraordinaire? What's a day in your life look like?
Man, that's what I ask people that we interview. Yeah. So that's a good question.
Okay, there you go.
It depends if I have to take my daughter to daycare. So if we're talking in the summer, I'll probably get here about 7:15 because I don't have to take the kids anywhere. Because the earlier I get in here, the better. Because since I own the business, seeing the patients is probably only about 75% of what I do. Yeah. So the sooner I can get in here and start doing, you know, paying the bills and just getting everything in order, the better. But if school's in, I usually get in about 7:45 and I start with, if there's any drop-offs, because we let people drop off as long as we don't think the pet has a communicable disease. Mm-hmm. So if they have something that another dog or cat could catch, they can't drop off. But for a lot of things you can drop off. So I'll get in, I'll try to knock those out first thing. Because you never know what you're going to find on those physical exams.
Now, what's a drop off? That means they're just dropping the animal off and leaving, or
exactly.
Okay,
exactly. The owner's not here.
Gotcha.
So, because you never know what you're going to find. It could be a wellness check, and the dog ends up having a urinary tract infection, or a skin infection, or ear infection, or something. So those things can take time, and plus you got to communicate with the client with a phone call, which a lot of times client will answer the phone because they're at work. So drop offs just take some time. So I'll come in, try to get the drop offs as quick as I can and have those things done by my first appointment time, which is 8:30.
Okay.
And then we have 30-minute blocks for appointments. Appointments, the number varies during the day. We start getting really busy at the end of May. I mean, really busy where I might not sit down all day. And that goes through the summer. And then with each month, as we get into fall and winter, we get a little bit slower. So we're a little bit slower in September, October, November, we're kind of slow, but then we pick back up with Thanksgiving and then we kind of run pretty hard till the end of the year. So a busy day for me, I'll probably see 12 to 15 appointments.
Wow. And so why is it so busy in summertime? Because it is summertime and people have more time on their hands. And then why does it get busy around Thanksgiving?
Well, we're busier in the summer because people are at home more.
Yeah.
And they notice things on their pet more. Okay. You know, they notice that the pet has some sort of ailment or something, but also they're just more available to come in because the kids aren't in school. They're not running around and doing all the stuff that, you know, all the sports and stuff that we do when the kids are in school. So we do a lot more wellness visits in the summer because people are just available to come in.
Gotcha.
So I think that's probably, and also there's people are going out of town a lot. So we got a lot of drop-offs because everybody's boarding. Mm-hmm. You know, our boarding facility stays full the entire summer.
Yeah.
And people will save that wellness visit, for a drop off. You know, there's some people that always go on vacation every 4th of July. So for whatever reason, the dog's annual visit is always due on the 4th of July every year. So with boarding, there just comes more work because the pet's going to be due for something, or the pet's going to be dropped off for boarding and they're going to say, oh, by the way, you know, the dog's had been scratching its ear for a week. Can you have one of the doctors look at it? Yeah. So boarding just brings more business.
Gotcha.
And then we, you know, we take a couple hours for lunch because there is kind of a lull middle of the day. So take a couple hours for lunch. And then we usually try to wrap things up by about 5:30.
Okay. It's a pretty full day.
Yeah.
That's good. What is your worst emergency you can remember? Someone bringing in an animal and you were like, holy smokes.
You know, we, probably the worst I've had in recent memory is a dog that got, he was on a golf cart and the dog fell off the golf cart. And then unfortunately he fell in front of the wheel. Mm. And so it got run over.
Yeah.
So that dog came in really painful and respiratory distress. So we tried to get it stabilized and we tried to figure out the extent of the injuries, which were, you know, pretty significant. The dog had a punctured lung. And when that happens, you have air that's leaking out of the lung. Mm. And so it leaks into the space around the lung.
Yeah.
And that puts pressure on the lung. And so the lung can't expand, you know, like it should. So instead of it being able to take in air and get bigger, push out air and get smaller, every time it takes air, every time it pushes air out, air fills around the lung. And so the lung just gets smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was one. And it was a friend of mine. So, you know, that was a tough situation. We had to send him to the ER after we got everything stable. Dog ended up, unfortunately, not making it. It was traumatic all around emotionally. And, you know, the extent of the injuries were traumatic. So,
wow, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough one.
Has there ever been a situation where you had an animal, a cat or a dog come in and you just couldn't figure out what was wrong with that animal?
Yeah. And sometimes it's a total head scratcher.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time that doesn't happen very often. Most of the time we can at least narrow it down to a certain body system. So for example, just earlier today we had a little dog come in, a young dog, and was running around all weekend at sporting events with the family. And Saturday, it just got to where it wasn't putting any weight on one of its legs.
Yeah.
So they bring it in today. We do our exam, take some x-rays, and we find that it's the knee. That's why the dog isn't really wanting to move around a lot. It's the knee. Take some x-rays, and you know, we're suspicious of some soft tissue damage in the knee, like a cruciate ligament. So what would be in a person, an ACL, and mm-hmm. dog is the same thing, except it's called a CCL. Instead of anterior cruciate ligament, it's cranial cruciate ligament. So, you know, we're pretty sure, but we're not 100% sure. So what we end up doing is we end up sending it to our friends down the road. That's Dr. Dismukes. He's an orthopedic surgeon, and he's going to review the case. He's going to do an exam. He's going to weigh in. So just like human medicine, we have specialists that can help us.
That's
when,
awesome.
You know, we think there may be something going on, but we just need somebody to come in and say, yes, definitively, this is what's happening. But we'll also send pets to Auburn. You know, this has been about a year ago now, but I had a Great Pyrenees that was having neurological issues and it needed some advanced diagnostics. You know, it needed an MRI, it needed a CT scan. And just like your general human physician, you're not going to go there and get a CT or an MRI.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't have that capability. And that's who we are. You know, we're the general physician. So we localize the disease process to the certain area of the body. And then we decide what diagnostics we need next. And then we get them in the hands of the people who know what to do.
Yeah. I know both my dogs have had some type of leg injury where they can't put any weight on it. And I usually let it go for about 2 or 3 days. And then if it gets to the point where they're yelping, then I'll bring the animal in. Thank goodness it's gone away. But when you're talking about a CCL or you're talking about a broken bone, what happens then to that animal? Can you set that? How do you deal with that?
Every situation is a little bit different, but for the most part, and with most fractures, you want to do some type of, you know, internal fixative, you know, to fix it basically. We don't really do a lot of casting in dogs like we do in people, and especially young kids, because dogs don't know how to rest. They don't know how to not run around and play.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we'll end up actually fixing the fracture surgically, which is tickling my throat.
You're getting a little choked up. I know. It's very difficult. I understand. It's
man, fun. this is radio for you.
That's good. That's good. Take a drink.
You see me all choked up.
You see me over here drinking all the time. It's okay. It's all right.
So yeah, most of the time you're going to want to have a surgical repair on the fractures. And that's something we refer out to our orthopedic friends for, because they do it every day, you know, so why would we mess around when we got people to do it every day?
Okay. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. And a short abbreviated version of our Dark Side of the Pooch here, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics, right there in Homewood, of course, also known for Ed's Pet World, in business for 50 years down there in beautiful Homewood. Seth, of all people, sat there in Homewood, wants to know about dog tails. Why do some dogs have short tails? Some dogs have long tails. Wants to know, why would you cut a dog's tail off? Tell us the whole story about dog tails.
It just depends on the breed standard. So a long time ago, for whatever reason, it usually has to do with what the dog's job was. So for example, if a dog was a hunting dog, or a dog that ran through a lot of brush and could potentially injure their tail, they cut it off so it wouldn't get injured. That's not always the case, but a lot of times when a tail is docked, it's because it was a breed standard. And way back in the day, when the dog had an actual job, you know, other than just being a family pet, the tail got in the way.
Yeah.
There are some dogs that are born with super short tails, like bulldogs. You know, those, they don't have long tails. So, you know, for whatever reason, as those dogs were bred, the tail got shorter and shorter until there wasn't a tail anymore.
And how is the tail taken off, and is it painful?
It's a lot like, I equate it kind of like a circumcision. Yeah. in a human. We do it when they're 3 or 4 days old, so they don't necessarily know what's going on. I mean, is it uncomfortable? Yeah, it sure is. Yeah. And is it something that is, I mean, necessary to do? No. I mean, you know, if you, like, for example, if you have a Yorkie, those Yorkies have their tails docked. The only reason being is that's just the way they've always looked. But if you have a Yorkie and you don't want to dock its tail, you don't have to.
Have you ever seen a Yorkie with a regular tail?
I have.
It'd be kind of cool looking, I bet you.
Yeah, I have. And it, you know, and the ear cropping is the same. It's the same thing with ear cropping. So the only reason to crop ears is for aesthetics. It's just a certain look. You know, Great Danes, they have their ears cropped. Dobermans, they have their ears cropped. But I've seen lots of those dogs that they don't, the owners don't want to do it, so they don't.
What exactly do you do to crop an ear?
Oh man, it's really an art form.
Really?
So yeah, it's an art form.
Tell me about it. I want to hear about it.
It is an art form. So you take off a portion of the entire ear to make the ear point.
Yeah.
And then you have to sew up the edge. So you've got to take off the appropriate amount, and you have to close it properly. So it's really an art form.
And you know how to do that?
I've never done it.
Really? It sounds like you need to be a seamstress or something, man, in order to pull that off.
I've docked a lot of tails, and I've taken off a lot of dew claws from puppies. But ear cropping is something that in some circles has fallen out of fashion. And I'm not going to weigh in on, you know, the ethics of ear cropping or not. That's not, you know, that's above my pay grade. I just do what I'm told, you know, but, we don't have a lot of breeders in our area. It's people that are, you know, buying the dogs or adopting the dogs, but a lot of people in rural areas who breed dogs, the breeders will have it done before the dogs are sold.
Okay. Well, there you go. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Lewis in Oxford wants to know, ask Dr. Rab Stewart what his favorite cartoon dog is.
Oh, favorite cartoon dog. Stimpy.
From Ren and Stimpy. Yeah, that could be it. All right. Is that a dog? Is that a dog?
Yeah, because Ren was the cat, right?
Yeah.
Because the Chihuahua was Stimpy.
Uh-huh.
The tan one.
Yeah.
And then Ren was like the kind of brown cat. He was a cat.
Yeah.
But I also really love Brian from Family Guy.
Oh, that's good. What about Tramp?
Brian from Family Guy is great.
What about Tramp? Tramp?
It's too PG, man. I need a little edge.
Yeah.
I need a little edge to my cartoons.
You got some edge today. Dr. Rab Stewart, 208-0301, 208-0301 at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter. Rossbridge Vet, of course, on the wonderful internet there, rossbridgevet.com. And, of course, you can also find them on Facebook. Any other interesting stories you want to share with us before we let you go?
No, other than, you know, if you want to avoid getting hair in your throat, then don't be a veterinarian, or maybe just have a lint roller.
There you go. Dark Side of the Pooch brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics, now open in Homewood. Check out Seth Cosby's brand new business. It's fantastic. They do wonderful work down there. Comics in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. Toys from the same time. Check it out. They buy Central. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.